because this is not a script. I know, I did some workshops for Toronto Sick Kids on Zoom. That was a challenge, right? Put them in breakout rooms and they practiced and it all worked really well. And Dave, his presentation, he was from the first, because this was COVID, right? Dave was from the first presentation I did on Zoom, and he put it into practice the next day. And I'll let him tell the story. Okay. So, and at times, you ask questions that are relevant to the imagery, guide and be guided by. So you're guiding the imagery, but you're guided by what the child is telling you, or what I'm formulating the next question based on what Taylor's telling me, yeah? And I'm trying to take the back seat and let the child drive it, okay? I'm not going over, I'm letting the child choose it, yeah? So rapport and trust obviously is important. There's the phrase, title of the presentation. What do you like doing? What's good fun? Right? That's a useful way of finding out the, you know, what the child might like doing. Now at this point, you know, mum or dad might say, and they've said to me, you know, oh, she really likes ballet. Well, that's great, you know, but sorry mum, sorry dad, you know, it's your child's choice, yeah? I learned that very early on, as I said. Deep breaths, mindful distraction, your child describes your imagery and you guide it. Now, you'll see in the video presentations that I tell the child when we're going to do the procedure. And when I'm saying to the child, we're just going to tighten up the tourniquet or we're just going to, you know, whatever, that's the signal to the health professional now. Now, you do your bit, right? And mostly that goes well, except for the second video. Because it was supposed to be just having a look, but they were very procedure-focused and started to restrain it. I've never restrained a child in imagery, ever. They restrained the arm and then they put the cannula in and there was no topical anaesthetic either. Child's choice, right, on that one. So it was an IV cannulation without topical. When I did the first videos from a PhD data, and there were no kids with any topical anaesthetic, because the only reason at the time they weren't using it was years ago. Would I advocate for good pharmacology? Of course, right? I had a kid once, she stuck her finger in mum's sewing machine. The needle went through the nail and it broke off. She came in. Now, what's the best pharmacology? Got any medical people here? What's the best AED department? What's the best pharmacology to remove a broken needle in the tip of a finger? I'll tell you, a ring block, right? Inject local anaesthetic around the base. I don't fancy that, having local anaesthetic injected around the base of my finger. But this girl, she was standing in the queue with her brother to get on the chairlift with her skis on, yeah? And she's in the CAS theatre, arm out. She's there, absolutely there. I say to her, who's in front? How many people are in front? She said, there's two. I said, okay, tell me when they go. Pause, let them go, right? They're gone. Okay, you next, yeah? Which, is your brother on your left or your right? He's on my right. Okay, you ready? Tell me when you feel that swing. That's when they stuck it in. No pulling away, no grimace, nothing. Just lay there, right? With her arm out. Good pharmacology. Once the block's in, game on. Yeah? Okay, how do we know when somebody's engaged in imagery? Usually they'll close their eyes. Sometimes you get eye movements under closed lids. Slowing of respirations. They're relaxed. The speech is normal and calm without sign of apprehension. The imagery flows, the description flows easily. There's appropriateness of affect in imagery. If something funny happens, and often it does, there's something amusing happening in imagery, they'll smile, they'll laugh. You know, you get a sense that they're engaged. And if you ask something that doesn't fit, don't worry about it, because the child will correct you. Okay? And when they correct you, you know that they're engaged. You know? This boy I'm going to play now, I ask him, Jake or something. Has Jake got the ball? He said, no, he's fielding. Corrected. Yeah? What sort of a day is it? Is it hot? No, not too hot. Correction. I know he's engaged. Yeah? Okay, here we go. 5-year-old boy, venipuncture, 23-gauge needle, no topical anaesthetic. I've met him 5 minutes before. That's it. All of the kids, 5 minutes. Lead up time, here we go.
Imagine there's an injury, or just drain him in the daytime. Just blend that against mum. That's the one. Okay. And what we're going to do is we're going to imagine we're going to close our eyes. Just imagine that we're at your school. Okay. And what do you call it again? Pupil. Yeah. And then in a minute, Sharon's going to come in for blood tests. Okay. But I'll tell you everything that's happening here. Okay. You know, like we put the tourniquet on your arm, that type thing. Yeah. So I'll tell you when that's happening and everything. You can tell me about what's happening at school. Okay? Alright. So just close your eyes first thing. Good. And take a nice deep breath in, just like you're going to blow out candles on occasion. In and out. Now, just tell me what it looks like in your mind at school. Okay? And where you play kickball. That's outside, isn't it?
I've got no idea what kickball is. Haven't got a clue.
And where you're playing with again?
Lee.
And some other, there's a few of you. Good, okay. And how big's the ball?
That big.
That big, right, okay.
Awesome.
Right. Okay, now who's got the ball?
Just about
to pick it. You're going to pick it, eh?
Yeah.
Okay, well just describe it to me as you pick it and what's happening.
Yeah.
Notice the background noise. Doesn't need to be quiet. Doesn't matter.
And what sort of a day is it? Is it a sunny day? Yeah. And nice and warm? Not too hot. Just
nice correction.
Alright, now just pop your arm up this one here. While we do that, then do the blood test. Just got the ball now. Just go driving. What about, is that women? Who's got it? Yeah? Who's got the ball? Lee's got it, and he's good, isn't he? Okay. And is he trying to get you? And does he get you, or did you get away? Okay. Now, where are you running? Why? Just tell me what we're doing, but just where are you running?
The other side of the
back. Oh, you're having a big run, are you? Okay. And how far across the oval, though? Is there anybody chasing you?
Yeah.
Who's chasing you?
Jake.
And can he catch you or not?
Yeah,
he caught me. He caught you, did he? Oh, right. So are you both running together?
Yeah. He got me.
He got you, did he?
He got me.
So what happened now?
Yeah, he got me.
All right. So where are you going to go?
Sit down.
You're going to sit down. And what are you going to sit down? Just tell me what that is.
I have this
leg that we have that we walk across to the
canteen. You get a sense he's engaged.
Easy flowing description of imagery.
Okay, so you're watching. Can you tell me what you can see?
I can see another friend
Now we finished going, we finished draining tight down,
Do we have time for these techniques? 7 minutes, 11 since the start. You betcha. Going to the zoo to feed the koalas.
What she's doing at the moment, Ruby, is having a look, okay? Just having a look. Is that all right? Yeah. Deep breath in. Now, you mind just holding off for a minute? So I'm just like, get this done. Yeah. So you've decided to go away and all that sort of stuff. Yeah? Can you just release that? Yeah. Cool. Okay.
Big so Ruby, moment.
She's
big
gonna
moment.
Which arm she's gonna do this.
Advocacy.
Okay. But what we might do, you and I, is get some of this breathing going. Ready? In with a breath. Okay, good girl. Now you know that time cuts off, don't you? No. Okay. What's the friendly one? A baby one. Oh, okay, good. Just think about that koala, baby koala. And what's his face look like? His eyes, his braids, and is there just one baby koala? Five of them. Okay, can you just count them for me? One. And just count each one. Just count out of that so I can hear. One.
That restraint's totally unnecessary. I didn't notice it. I'm totally focused on Bruce.
Is he taking the leaves and eating them, or has he got them in his hand? off the tree. Oh, okay. And when you were at the zoo, you went off and had an ice cream, didn't you? Let's fast forward to the ice cream place. Ready? Alright, does any dribble on your fingers? Rest of the ice cream. Tell me when you get to the bear stick. Got to the bear stick now. Let's do the fast forward. Do you remember the fast forward? Where should we fast forward to? Cat hunt in the living room? Okay. So fast forward. And just tell me when you get to your house. Teddies. Just take a nice slow deep breath in. Good girl, let it out slowly. So just think, remember we did a 4 to 3 to 2 to 1. And when you get to 1, just open your eyes slowly and we're all finished.
I said, thank you, Ruby. She said, you're welcome. Time for practices because I really want to show you Dave's presentation. Obviously, try not to fall off. And we can get some questions and comments as well. Save those. So, precautions, potential problems. I've never had a child become fearful in imagery, probably because they choose their imagery. What do you like doing? What's good fun? They choose what's good fun. We certainly do not withhold other treatment modalities. I'm all for good pharmacology as I've described. I wouldn't use imagery with anybody who is delusional or hallucinating. Postural hope, just stand up slowly, you know, don't get up quickly. I've never seen relaxation-induced anxiety with a child or heard about it, but with adults sometimes, the more you try and relax, the more anxious people get. And it's usually people who are struggling with anxiety anyway. Sometimes you get a little lightheaded. You can get emerging emotions, young children, but with older adolescents or grown-ups. I was demonstrating imagery once in a workshop like with Taylor, and the lady that had volunteered, I looked and there were tears coming down her face. And I just acknowledged that. I said, oh, there's some tears there. You want to continue or, you know, we can finish up? She said, no, I'll keep going. And afterwards she said, I'm not surprised, you know, that I had tears. And, you know, we've all got baggage, haven't we? We've all got stuff. That's being human, right? And sometimes with imagery, you know, that can start to surface. Yeah. Reorientation to the here and now. You know, stretching and so on. And of course, as I developed the technique, back when I was doing the masters, I just replicated what worked well. You know, that's why that you hear the questions, you know. What was the best part about your imagery? What made you feel like you were more there than here? What was easy to focus on? Water, fantastic. Anything to do with water, brilliant. Even Taylor had some water. Yeah. over there, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, the cases that go well, you know, look, they're fantastic, but you probably learn more from the cases that don't go so well. You know, what? Maybe there was a lot of fear. Maybe mindful distraction. If a child was really fearful, I would use mindful distraction over imagery. Right? Imagery is just one more technique we can add. And perhaps the outcome today is, you know, I had a kid once, he had two lots of procaine penicillin. He's coming in to have a venipuncture. He was not up for a needle, right? And I was doing imagery with him, and he opened his eyes and he screamed, you know, he yelled, but he didn't move. He let us know he wasn't happy. You know, for that child on that day, I reckon that was a pretty good outcome. Yeah. That's in the Northern Territory where I was with my daughter just a little while ago. Very nice, Catherine Gorge. Okay, let's go to Dave's presentation. Can I work it? Yeah, here we go. Okay, so he's a youth worker that did the workshop via Zoom. Email be the next day, thrown in the deep end. That was the title of his email. Yeah, here we go. He's Birmingham Women's and Children's Hospital.
Hello and greetings from the UK. My name's Dave Baker and I'm Senior Youth Worker at Birmingham Children's.
Whoop, bugger. Excuse me. Bloody hell, I'm done now. Bloody hell. I'm an Aussie, I'm allowed to say that. Well, I think I am anyway.
Hello and greetings from the UK. My name's Dave Baker and I'm Senior Youth Worker at Birmingham Children's Hospital. This case study is based upon a patient we're going to call H and my impromptu support for him. He's a plastics hand and upper limb patient with a protracted history of procedural anxiety resulting in delayed or cancelled procedures. Now, I'm a youth worker, and without going into too much detail, youth workers work exclusively with adolescents. And amongst the foundational values within this discipline are three things: voluntary participation, informal education, and empowerment. I'm going to tell you a bit more about those later, but voluntary participation is different to working on a consent basis. Now, H, let me tell you about H. He's a 15-year-old facing a routine day surgery to remove a chronically ingrown nail on one of his hands. But H was anything but a routine patient, having previously had various procedures under the plastics hand and upper limb service since he'd been a young child, throughout which he'd exhibited behaviours associated with extreme procedural anxiety, compounded by the trauma associated with having been held down and repeatedly restrained. Typically, minor procedures would be delayed by up to 2 hours or even cancelled altogether. Over the years, H had been in receipt of health play specialist and clinical psychology support, but despite his being able to call upon some of the techniques he'd been taught, this was the third attempt to undertake this procedure. And on this occasion, a plan for support was in place. However, things being what they are, on the day that support, through a combination of unavoidable factors, was not able to be delivered quite as planned. We, that is the Play and Youth Service, of which I'm a part, that includes play specialists, youth workers and play workers. We were unexpectedly short-staffed that day. And Marie, the play specialist, whose role it is to normally provide more complex procedural support, she'd been called to attend another patient, also in desperately urgent need. But she was hoping to be able to juggle these to be able to get back in time to support H into theatre. Desperate for help and acutely aware of the imminent risk to H's surgery, she asked me whether I could provide some de-escalation of H's anxieties just to hold the fort until she returned. Whilst she was waiting surgery on our surgical daycare unit. So I suppose to that extent, that was where I was very much thrown into a situation. i.e. preparation and support for surgery and anaesthetic, that was somewhat beyond my usual remit. And so I went up and introduced myself to H, who was reclining on his trolley in the day surgery bed space, and he was with his dad. So far, perfectly normal for me within my role. H presented as an intelligent and articulate young adult, to all intents and purposes, someone I'd normally expect to be calm and rational, even if a little nervous. But it quickly became apparent whenever one of the scrubs-wearing clinical team even approached his bed space that he was experiencing acute anxiety and distress, and that this was in danger of rapidly escalating. The physical signs of sheer panic were readily observable. Now, it just so happened that I'd completed Bernie's guided imagery training the day before, and it occurred to me that I might be able to offer something like that to help him cope with his anxieties prior to theatre. So here's where the fear and doubt really kicked in for me. I was already well outside my own comfort zones and familiar contexts. Now I was seriously considering using a technique that I literally only learned the day before. In all honesty, I was internally terrified. Who did I think I was to offer this kind of intervention in a situation surrounded by A, professionals who were intimately familiar with dealing with anxious patients, B, a parent who'd never heard of this technique and on whose face, in all honesty, I could read, yeah, some scepticism, and C, a patient whose cold sweats, respiratory rate and terrified eyes suggested he might already have tipped over the event horizon beyond any help, especially my kind of help. But alongside these feelings of sheer inner terror and doubt, there was that still small voice, quietly insisting that I was standing upon 30 plus years of my own professional experience with young people in crisis, and that the training that I'd had the previous day was still pretty fresh in my mind, to be honest, and had probably prepared me for just such an eventuality as this. I also knew that I'd sat on sidewalks with drugged up gangs and knife wielding young people and was actually pretty well versed in being able to exude an air of quiet, friendly, professional competence in extreme circumstances. To be honest, I'm doing that right now, speaking to you. And so it was that Marie and I agreed it's worth a try. So having already engaged in some other activities and diversions, we discussed and practiced the technique, beginning with the relaxation and breathing techniques and through to his creation of an interaction with his chosen imagery. Interestingly, one of the concepts I'd shared with him during the initial history and assessment was something called the anxiety curve, which makes use of a metaphorical wave of anxiety which can be ridden through its peak and down the other side, much like a surfer. Now H, it turns out, loved the sea and had been surfing on a number of occasions with his family, and so he immediately opted for this scenario, deliberately choosing to build waves of his own anxiety into the picture as waves that he could push through, waiting to step up and ride that big one when the time eventually came for his anaesthetic by gas induction. My intention had been to prepare him and train him to use the breathing and imagery himself once I'd handed back to Marie, who had by this time returned. But when the time came for him to actually go down to theatre, H asked for me to continue with the guided imagery, as he felt strongly it would help him get through the anaesthetic room experience. Looked around and all parties consented to this, H even refusing his pre-med, as he felt he could manage better without it. Dad and the anaesthetist both seemed surprised and checked that he was certain, but H remained resolute. After a very brief delay to agree with H how we would actually run the imagery, it was agreed to proceed. The guided imagery had actually already begun, and consistent with the nature of the technique, H was able, with my help, to switch between his two parallel realities at will in order to interact with the events taking place, of which he was at all times fully aware, and respond to questions he was asked. I provided continuous support as he was being transferred to the anaesthetic room and then during his preparation and gas induction. H remained in control of the imagery right up to a prearranged point when the mask was actually applied and he could no longer speak clearly, at the very peak of that big one, where I took over and continued the imagery as he accepted the induction and became sedated. Now, H had experienced and exhibited signs of acute anxiety to varying degrees throughout, but used the pre-rehearsed breathing and focusing techniques successfully in order to manage this. Now, on departing the anaesthetic room, both Dad and the technician with us expressed that he's never done that so well. And they'd been surprised that this technique had been so effective. It was only then that I fessed up and admitted that this had been my very first time using the full technique, although I had used types of imagery before in non-clinical settings. The surgeon who'd worked with this patient for years, I met her recently and she remarked that she remembers that day very clearly and was surprised at how well it had gone. The anaesthetic record is typically brief and simply states anxiety issues, youth worker involved, no pre-med, anxious but cooperative. Now, a quick reminder of the youth work core values that I briefly mentioned earlier. Voluntary participation, informal education,
sorry,
and
Dave.
Empowerment.
I'm just mindful of time, but we got most of it over. Any questions? Maybe there's some questions or comments or thoughts or anything. Yeah, I've got going to get the mic, but
I can get one.
I'm happy to answer questions. It's only a cup of tea time, so, you know, if you want to hang on, whatever you're comfortable with, go for it.
I just wanted to ask, is there a minimum age?
Four and a half, yeah, common question. So I've had used imagery with kids down to four and a half. Once they get to five, easy. Hypnosis you can use with younger children. So I'm going to anticipate a question. What's the difference between imagery and hypnosis? The answer to that is suggestion. Okay. In every hypnotic exercise, you know, some of you might be familiar with Miura's Magic Love, yeah, and all of that. There's the suggestion, there's the responsiveness to suggestion. Lonnie Zeltzer's work, Sam LeBaron, all these people, a lot in hypnosis and with younger kids. But imagery, guided imagery, four and a half, five.
And is it possible to combine music?
Music, yeah, you can. I haven't done it, but yeah, I've had taught music therapists and they've asked me that before as well. Yeah.
Hi.
Go for it.
I'm Deepa, I'm from Sick Kids Toronto. Anesthesiologist.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, have you rolled this out formally in an entire operating room? Because my biggest challenge is I try to do these things in an operating setting with surgeons, nurses, my team, and I get sabotaged a lot. Like, for example, I will try to make a connection with the child, but then the nurses will also talk over me. So have you ever successfully rolled this out to change an entire operating room culture? I recently actually kicked out, there was eight people in the room, and I actually asked everyone who's not involved to please leave, and people still wouldn't leave. So I'm just wondering if you had experience with that.
I don't, but you know, what I can direct you to is values. What is it about our team that we value? You know, what's important to us? You can challenge people. Some people need challenging. They really do, you know.
I'm starting to do that.
So. Yeah, what do we stand for, you know? And in the boardrooms, everybody talks about child-centered care, but how do you put that into practice, right? So how do we put that into practice? You know, the other thing that it's often the stoic dinosaurs understand, you know what I mean by stoic dinosaur, don't you? Yeah. Yeah. Often they understand the word pilot, right? Oh, a pilot. Oh, okay, so maybe we could start small. We can try this out, you know, in a focused area and see how it goes. Yeah. But I think value, I mean, I work with acceptance and commitment therapy as well, so and ACT and values are central. Professional, but how do we, you know, what's important about what we do? Go for it.
Thank you, Bernie. Two quick questions. For the male child, were there any preparations beforehand in terms of you're going to get either by the parent or the nurse or the medical staff that you are going to get an ID, or did they just come in right after?
No preparation. I had 5 minutes with him. He's been randomly allocated to one of the groups. He's in there, he's going to have a vending puncture, and I'm explaining to him what's going to happen in the 5 minutes. And because it was part of my PhD, I had to go through the consent process as well. So very, very little time and no preparation.
And
second
question is, for a child who has already developed a fear for needle pokes or fear for pain, can you implement this, and how do you see the changes?
Thanks. I had a girl in my PhD who afterwards mum said, well, that's better than what happened last time. I said, what happened last time? She said, two nurses held her down screaming and she vomited. So here's a kid with baggage. Yeah? Now she was 7 years old, playing basketball in her imagery. And what really enhanced her imagery was bouncing the ball and counting. And it was a long beanie punch. I've got it on video. I show it in the workshops. Long video because the phlebotomist misses, you know, and it goes on and on and on and on. So, yeah, you even kids with baggage. Yeah. Any more questions? Anyone? You okay? Okay, you're welcome. You know, as I said, there's information on the website. There's the mindful distraction technique there, sheet. You're welcome to take one of those if you want. It's on the website. It's on the front page. You can download it. There's a link. You'll see ISPP. Okay, thanks for coming, folks.
Yeah, learn our 6 weeks on television.
Say again?
I see Dr.
Cutter
in 6 weeks.
See the aura. Give
yeah,
it hope.
Yeah,
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 I emailed it. I emailed it before. But yeah, give it hope.
Yeah,